Bibles. Amen. Praise God. And we're going to go to a couple of places starting out here this morning, but we're going to look at Psalms chapter 37 first. Psalms chapter 37, and then we'll move over and look at something in Ephesians. But Psalms chapter 37, and I want to look at verse 23. Psalms 37, verse 23. It says that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his ways. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and God delights in your ways when you're allowing him to order your steps, and you will delight in your ways when God is ordering your steps. Amen. So, steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. So what is a good man? Well, I'm here to tell you that this morning that that's a man that's trusting God. That is a man who's put his confidence in God. So when you've put your confidence and trust in God to order your steps, then the Bible says that you're going to delight in your ways as God delights in your ways. Now look up Ephesians chapter 2. What do I mean when I say you'll delight in your ways, and God will delight in your ways? Ephesians chapter 2, let's look at verse 10, and I want to read verse 10 from the Amplified Bible. It says, "For we are God's own handiwork, his workmanship, recreated," or we could say born again or born anew in Christ Jesus, "that we may do those good works which God predestined, planned beforehand for us." So when God is ordering your steps, he's going to order your steps in his plans that he's made for you before the foundation of the world. How many of you know we've been on this for a while, that there is a destiny that God has already laid out and unfolded for you? And when you allow him to order your steps, he will order your steps in the ways of the plans that he's made for you. Therefore, you will begin to delight in your way. Now, why are you going to delight in your way? Notice what he goes on and says here. "Taking the paths which he prearranged ahead of time that we should walk in them." Now, here's delighting in your ways. "Living the good life which he prearranged and made ready for you to live." There is a good life for the good man that God has prearranged, made ready for you and I to live. And all we need to do is get in touch with God and let him order our steps. How many of you believe that God knows what he's doing? I do. Come on, you can't tell me that the God that created this universe set everything in its right place can order my steps from point A to point B so that I can live a good life. Come on, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. So this is why we're in this study. I want God ordering my steps. I don't know enough to order my own steps. You don't know enough to order your own steps. You have no idea what's going to show up in your life tomorrow. You have no idea what's going to show up in your life next week. But the Bible here says that God has prearranged a path for us. And if we get on the path that God has prearranged for us, we will eventually end up living the good life that he says belongs to us. Amen. So now we're talking about being led by the Spirit of God. Now, how many of you have been practicing hearing that inner witness that God primarily leads us by? Amen. You may, and the inner witness is not necessarily you heard a voice, but that nudging, that overwhelming sensation on the inside that I shouldn't do this, or this is okay to do. So that's the primary way God leads you. See, we're looking for this, you know, most of God's people are looking for this spectacular leading, the burning bush leading. You hear this big voice saying, "Don't do that." That's not the way that God primarily leads his people. Now, he can do that, but that's not the primary way he does things. God gives you little nudges in your inward man. Now, we've already talked about we don't try to hear God based on our minds and what we think and how we feel. We don't try to be led by the Spirit of God based on how our bodies are feeling or something that we see on the outside. God speaks to us, leads us, directs us through by our spirit man. All right. So when you get those little nudges on the insides of those little checks, that little sensing of saying, maybe I shouldn't do this. It's not that you heard something. It's just uneasiness in your spirit. That's God. That's your spirit alerting you to the fact that this is not, you're off the path. Or you may get ready to do something and you go to God and you, Father, is this what I'm supposed to do? Or is this okay? And you just get that easiness and that peaceful calmness inside. And that's God's green light saying, okay, this is okay with the path. Now we're going to go a step further today because that's the initial entrance into gaining information from God. And now we're going to go into now, once you yield to that, see, once you yield to that inner witness, that it's not, you didn't hear anything. It's just, you just got that little bump in the spirit that says, stop and check that out. If you yield to that and go spend time with God, then God will start talking to you. But the majority of the time, people aren't hearing from God because they don't stop or they don't pay attention to that initial bump of God to call you to attention. You're not even aware that God needs to talk to you about something because you didn't feel the bump in the spirit that he was trying to give you. All right. So we're going to look at some things on today. The next level after, what happens after? Okay, Pastor, I sense God's, not wanting me to do something here and I didn't do it. Now what? What do we do now? You go pray. That was to get you in the area to stop and acknowledge God. Now, a lot of times you may not have enough time to go get into your closet and just spend time there praying. And then sometimes you can. But if I get a little, if I'm getting ready to engage in something here and I get a nudge in the spirit and I back up from it, things say, whoa, hold on for a second. All right. Lord, what's going on here? I'm talking to my Father. That's what prayer is. I'm giving God enough time to speak to me and deal with me. All right. Now, we're going to talk today about the voice of your spirit. There are two voices, and I don't follow me here, that you will hear in the inside. One of them is the voice of your spirit, and the other was the voice of the Holy Spirit. And they're different. They're different. Now, we'll talk a little bit about the voice of the Holy Spirit next week, but I want to give you this week the voice of our spirits. Now, the voice of your spirit, the difference between the voice of your spirit and when the Holy Spirit is talking to you, when the Holy Spirit speaks to you, it is a bold, authoritative, strong voice. And it comes with power and authority. But when your spirit speaks to you, that's that soft, still, quiet voice that you're hearing all the time. It's your spirit. And you have to train yourself to hear it. He's always talking to you. All right. Now, we're going to look at some of this today. And I'm going to show you this from the Word. Because I don't believe in opinions. I believe, what did the Bible say? Because if the Bible, Jesus says that if you'll believe this, this will make you free. All right. Not somebody's opinion. And see, too many of God's people are living based on other people's opinions, and they're trying to direct their life based on other people's opinion, and other people's opinion could or could not or may not be right. But if I'll do it based on what the Word of God says, it'll be right every single time. Now, let's look at Romans chapter 9, the voice of your spirit. Now, this, you've always heard the voice of your spirit. But we're going to look at some things today because before you got born again, you may not could have trusted. But let's look at Romans chapter 9 here this morning for a moment here. And look at verse 1. verse 1 says, I say the truth in Christ. And it says, I lie not. My conscience also bearing witness in the Holy Ghost. Now, what is the voice of your spirit? The voice of our spirits is our conscience. Now, everybody in here, at some point, you know what I'm talking about when I say your conscience. That's that soft little voice that you hear on the inside. You know, the world predicts it as shows is when they show it, it's like you got a little devil on this shoulder and an angel on this shoulder. But what they're trying to show you is that's the voice of your conscience. It's that soft, still voice you hear in, not out here, it's you hear it inside. Now, before you got saved, what you heard may or may not have been right. I'm going to show you why here in a second. We've always heard of the voice of our conscience. But before salvation, you couldn't trust it. But notice it says here that Paul is saying, my conscience bears witness with the Holy Spirit. All right? Your conscience now is bearing witness with the Holy Spirit that's on the inside of you. So now, is everybody following me so far? We're saying that the voice of the spirit man is your conscience. And it's that soft voice that you hear on the inside. But if you're not listening, if the chaos and clutter of the world is ringing so loud in you, you will blow past it. You have to train yourself to pay attention. And a lot of times those little nudges that that little inward witness, the nudging, is just enough most of the time to slow you down enough to say, okay, let me listen. Now, look at Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 1. Verse 15, it says, unto the pure, all things are pure. But unto them that are defiled and unbelieving, in nothing pure, but even their minds and conscience is defiled. All things are pure to them that are pure. But to the unbelieving, to the defiled, nothing is pure, and even their own minds and conscience is not pure and is defiled. So if to the unbelieving, their minds and conscience, the voice of their spirit is defiled, then to the believer, all things are pure, which means the conscience, the voice of your spirit, is going to be pure. Now, here's why you couldn't believe that voice, that conscience, this voice of your spirit before you got saved. Because all it has to depend on before you got saved, say, for instance, you grew up in a family where, you know, they were real lax on morals and values and certain things just wasn't a big deal in their house and how you live wasn't a big deal in their house and you were trained to drinking, getting high and sexing and robbing and stealing, and everybody, you know, that was just a part of life, and it's just the way that you grew up, and that's just what you did. Well, when you get out and start doing things in society and living life, your conscience isn't going to convict you of much because your moral and your value system at that time didn't say that that was wrong. If you grew up in a house full of alcoholics, drinking and being an alcoholic and cussing out your wife and beating up your kids may have not been wrong to you. So you didn't get that, don't do that in your spirit before you got saved. Well, on the other hand, you grew up in a house and you had some good, strong Christian parents who taught you a good moral system, a good value system, and they showed you with things, certain things weren't right, certain things weren't wrong. And so now when you get out to society and start living your life, and you start to do stuff, and you hear that little voice in your spirit say, oh, that ain't right. Why? Because your moral and value system was a little bit stronger than the other person's. So before you got saved, it was based on what you were taught, how you live, what you were trained in. So you may or may not couldn't trust the voice of your conscience. It's always been there, but it was determined by how you were trained. That's why it says to the undefiled unbeliever, nothing is pure and all things can be defiled. But to the pure, to the born again individual, all things are pure. So now we shift. We've given our life to Christ. And see, we got to get fixed in our minds and truly start understanding that God didn't just do remodeling on your old spirit. There is a brand new spirit in there. 2 Corinthians 5 and 17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature altogether. All things are gone. Behold, all things now are new, and all the new things are of who? Are of God. You got a brand new spirit on the inside, full of God. All right? So Titus here says, to the pure, all things are pure. Now, why is that? Why is it now that you're born again, you can trust that conscience now? You may not have been able to quite trust before you got saved. It's depending on how you were taught, what you were trained in. But now that you're born again, you can fully trust it. Why? Because if you're telling me I can trust it, why? Because you still have some Christian people that think, well, I don't know if I can trust that. If you're born again and your conscience speaks to you, you can trust him. Here's why. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6 now. Learning how to be led by God. It is a powerful thing to know that you are saved, filled with the Holy Spirit, and you know how to hear God's voice, and you can be led. Oh, you are a powerful instrument in God's hands in this earth. There is nothing that you can't get accomplished when you're led, being led by God. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, look at verse 17. Matter of fact, let's read verse 17 all together. From my Bible, from the King James, whatever you have, but let's read verse 17 all together. Begin. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. My Amplified Bible says, but the person that is united unto the Lord becomes one spirit with him. You don't have two spirits down inside you and one's doing one thing and the other one's doing another thing. When you got born again, God's spirit moved in. And when God's spirit moved in, he made alive your spirit. Without the spirit of God, you're still spiritually dead. That old, the Bible says the old moral and spiritual condition has passed away. It's gone. That old moral and value system that you got from your mom, your dad, the world, it's gone. It's passed away. Then it says, the behold, the fresh and new has come. Well, what is the fresh and new? That's the spirit of God has now moved in there, and you have a brand new spirit that has been united with God's spirit. They're one now. So now whatever your spirit, whatever God's spirit is doing, your spirit is picking up on it. So now, inside, I have a brand new spirit. And he's one with the Holy Spirit. In the beginning was what? The Word. And the Word was God. And the Word was with God. St. John chapter 1. Now, it says, and the Word became flesh in the person of Jesus. So Jesus and the Word would equal the same, according to John, right? Also in the same book, John says this, quoting Jesus. Jesus says, I'm not going to leave you comfortless, but I'm going to send you another comforter. And in some places it says, I'm going to come to you again as the comforter. Right? So now if the Holy Spirit is, if the comforter is the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit is Jesus coming to you in spirit form, and Jesus equals the Word, then the Holy Spirit is still the Word. Wouldn't that be correct? You can't separate. If God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the Trinity, and all of them, and God says in the beginning was the what? Word. And the Word was God and the Word was with God. Then God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, we're still dealing with the Word. And if we're still dealing with the Word, the Bible said the Spirit of God was sent to lead and guide you into all truth. Well, what is truth? John 17 and 17, sanctify them by thy word. Thy word is truth. So now that the Spirit of God has moved on the inside of you, the Word of God has moved on the inside of you. And if the Spirit of God and the Word of God are the same, live on the inside of you, and your spirit and God's spirit are one, your value and moral value system now is not based on what you learn outwardly, it's based on what the Holy Spirit is teaching you inwardly. Okay? That's why you can trust Him. Because the Holy Spirit, your spirit is going to pick up on what the Spirit of God is saying, and the Spirit of God is not going to lead you into error. He says, I will lead and guide you into all truth. So before you got saved, you didn't have that assurity there. You were hitting and missing based on what your mom taught you, based on what Grandma and Aunt Ray Ray and them said. But now that you're born again, it's not based on what anyone is saying. You're picking up on what the Holy Spirit is speaking on the inside of you, and He is speaking pure. So to the believer, all things are pure. The mind, as you renew it, and the conscience, the voice of your spirit, is pure because it is one with the Holy Spirit who is pure. So you can trust your that soft, still voice, the voice of your conscience, your spirit, your conscience. You can trust Him because He's one with God and He's not going to lead you into error. Romans chapter 2 says this about that. Let's look a little closer here. Verse 15. Let's read verse 14 with it. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, or we can say the God's laws or God's words, do by nature the things contained in the law, having not the law, are a law unto themselves. Now notice, it's saying here, although if an unbeliever person who didn't have the commands of God, didn't have any of that, but picked up on them and still did them, was okay. That's why I'm saying before you got saved, you could have picked up on some of the right things to do. Verse 15 says, which show the works of the law written in their heart, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts that meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another. The Amplified Bible says, They show the essential requirements of the law are written in their hearts and are operating there, which their conscience, senses of right and wrong are also bearing witness, and their moral decisions agreeing or of reasons are commanding or condemning or approving thoughts which accuse or perhaps defend and excuse them. So now what is this saying? Notice, at first, the Gentiles, they've just picked up on some things now. But in verse 15, it says it has been written in their hearts. How did it get written in their heart? The Holy Spirit wrote it there. Heart, spirit, meaning your spirit man. The Holy Spirit, don't you remember in the Old Testament where God says I'm going to put my word in their minds and I'm going to write it up on their hearts? Well, how did he write it up on your heart? When the Holy Spirit moved in there, it was ingrained, the engrafted word of God. It's in there. The Holy Spirit has written it upon your heart. Now, notice it says, now that it's written upon your heart and your conscience bearing witness with it, it's either going to excuse you or it's going to condemn you. It's either going to let you know it's right or it's wrong. This is why we tell people all the time, you may not be able to find word for word in the Bible where it says, don't put a cigarette in your mouth and smoke it. You may not be able to find in the Bible where it says, don't roll up that next joint and smoke it. Crack is wrong. You know, you got Christian people that supposedly want to be supposed to be Christian. They're always looking for how far they can go without actually sinning. Well, you may not find every single thing wrote in the Bible word for word, but what you will find is that the Holy Spirit is pure and he's in you. And when he tells you that's wrong, it's just as much as thus it is written. Just as much. Why? He's the word. And if you'll listen to him, then he'll take you into the word and he'll show you in there, reveal to you why you shouldn't do it. You don't want to smoke that. Don't you realize your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? You don't want to defile it. I'm in here. But you may not have realized that scripture meant that until you yielded to him saying, That your conscience saying, hey, bro, you don't want to put these cigarettes down. You don't want to do that. You're going to a place and you do this. You're going to the grocery store and you're shopping. You're putting stuff in your basket. Then you realize, I don't want that. And you take it and put it back and just, you got an aisle three. You in aisle six now and you just, I don't want that. You just throw it on the, just throw it anywhere on the shelf in aisle six and walk on off. Well, somebody got to go take that from aisle six back to aisle three. And it may need to have been refrigerated. Now it's going to mess up. They got to throw it away. You just cost that company money. And your conscience told you when you put it up on the shelf in aisle six, go put that back on aisle three. And you didn't even pay attention to it. Come on, I know I'm right because he tell me. Simple stuff, but that's called practicing to hear God. Because if you won't hear God to pick that back up off of aisle six, go put it back on aisle three, when you're in a situation that is getting ready to cost you something, you're not going to hear him then either. See, that's the job of your spirit. The Bible, another scripture says that peace of God, that's the Spirit of God working in you. Let him be an umpire in your spirit. Let him be an umpire and tell you when you're out of bounds or you're in bounds. So you can trust your spirit. You can trust the voice of your spirit. You can trust it. When you hear your conscience telling you something, you can trust it. Listen and obey. Stop waiting for you to hear. Oh, I wait to hear the voice of God. And if you don't hear something say, don't do that, you're not going to listen. No, you're going to always be in trouble. Because that's the voice of the Holy Spirit. And usually you don't hear that until you in life-altering times when God got to set some things in motion or set some things in order. And I'm not going to get into that. That's next week. We're talking about the voice of your spirit today, that soft, still voice, the voice of your conscience. He's always dealing with you. But we've not been listening. And how many of us in here, whether it was the inner witness, those little nudgings, or your conscience, and you've blown past it, have made God all kind of shipwrecks. And then when you mess up and you step back and you, in hindsight, you look, something was telling me all the time not to do that. Because your spirit had picked up on what the Holy Spirit had to say about that and was trying to tell you, don't do it. Or to tell you, it's okay. Now, let's move a little further. I didn't even bring my watch out here today. Oh, well, okay, Holy Spirit, good. Glory to God. You must didn't want me to have it. All right, Romans chapter 8. I mean, this is good information. I didn't know all this when I got born again. I mean, Quantrell and I, we had to learn this stuff through trial and error because we didn't know. But God started teaching us some stuff. And God has even taught me some things about this last week. Just by, sitting there thinking, I got to go back to Kansas City and teach on this, Lord. And, I'm engaged in the spiritual training that I'm doing. I don't really have a lot of time to study. Because when I go down to our meetings to get trained, that's the equivalent. I sat in the equivalent of 26 services this week in 5 days. That's the equivalent of how much time that it takes for me to do what I did last week. So I'm, any chance I get to go back to the hotel, I'm going to try to lay down and go to sleep. So I'm like, well, Lord, you're going to have to help me with this. So as I'm sitting there eating the word, being trained myself, the Holy Spirit will drop a thought in me. So I write it down and go back to listening to what I'm listening to. And then he'll drop another thought in me. I write it down. And I've learned some things just, when you get around the word of God, you get into anointed teaching service. And if you already have word in you and when God starts teaching, he'll start connecting dots for you. Oh, yeah. And you'll get a thought will hit you, and then your mind will run over to this scripture, and you run over to that scripture, and then God begins to create a portrait for you. And then when he's finished, you'll be like, wow, this is what this means. And some of this, what I'm telling you today, is how I got this week. But I'm trying to show you here, the voice of your conscience is very powerful, if you'll listen. Now, Romans chapter 8. Your spirit is picking up on what the Holy Spirit is revealing to you. Notice verse 16. It says, but the Spirit himself beareth witness with our spirits that we are the children of God. So how do you know that you're God's child? Because your spirit man picks up on what the Holy Spirit is testifying about on the inside of you. And reassures you that you're saved. Now, everybody sitting in this room, if you've been born again for any length of time, you don't struggle with whether or not you're saved. You don't struggle with whether or not you're going to heaven. Why? Because you've listened to that enough on the inside. The Spirit of God has bared witness with that enough on the inside. You've heard teaching on it enough on the inside to it settled. Well, why can't we do that when it comes to our finances? Why can't we do that when it comes to our healing? Why can't we do that when it comes to being delivered? The exact same thing. Let the Holy Spirit bear witness on the inside with our spirits enough to where we become absolutely secure in what it says. And that's just the way we believe. You can do that. So your spirit picks up on what the Holy Spirit is saying. And your spirit picks up on the Spirit of God on the inside said, you're God's child. Have you, you know, ever been in prayer? And after you get through praying, if you don't jump and run off, you may be going to sleep or whatever, you land there. And every now and then, you hear little things like that. Love you. You're my daughter. You're my son. Voice of your spirit picking up on the Holy Spirit, and your conscience is speaking to you. Don't you know that there, your spirit and God's spirit is in partnership to train you? To train your mind, actually, and your body on how to operate? This is why God deals with you through your spirit, because your spirit is what is connected to God. Your mind is not connected to God. Your mind doesn't get connected to God until you connect it. Amen. James chapter 1 says that you're going to have to welcome the word which is engrafted or which is written in your heart, for in it their power to save your soul is there. The power to renew your mind, to say your soul didn't get saved. Your body didn't get saved. Your mind, I mean your spirit did. But within your spirit now is the power to bring your mind in line with God and to call and to make your body submit to the word of God. Now, verse 26, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searches the heart knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Now, for years, we've been taught that this operation here is 100% on the Holy Ghost. Because it's talking about when you pray in the Holy Ghost. When you pray in the Holy Spirit. Now, what's the infirmity here? The infirmity is your inability to know what to pray for. So that's what the infirmity that we're talking about right here. You don't know how to pray about, I don't know what to pray about this situation. And then sometimes you don't even know you need to be praying about the situation. But the scripture here says that the Spirit of God will help you with that. The literal Greek here says, which helps you understand this scripture, says that the Spirit of God takes hold together with your spirit. See, this is an operation of partnership here. And too many of us is trying to put everything off on the Holy Spirit, and we don't want to do anything. But when you're praying the Holy Ghost, it's not the Spirit of God praying. It's your spirit praying. Nah, Pastor, I ain't what the Word of God says. Yes, that's exactly what it says. Look, hold your place there because we're coming right back. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Verse 13 says, wherefore, let him that speaks in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret it. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, the Spirit of God prayeth. Is that what it says? Come on. Is everybody in the same place where I'm at? Did it say that anyone that prays in an unknown tongue, that the Holy Ghost is praying? Nope. It says what? My spirit prayeth. My spirit prayeth. But my mind is unfruitful. Because I'm not praying out of my intellect. I'm praying now out of my spirit. Now, likewise, when you're praying in the Holy Ghost, likewise, when you the spirit takes hold, when you pray in the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God takes hold together with your spirit to intercede on your behalf or on behalf of anyone. And then your spirit, which is in partnership and connected to the Spirit of God, who is pure. Notice, your spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. The Holy Spirit doesn't have to go and search the deep things of God. He is God. He already knows. So why does he got to go search himself? No, your spirit, who's connected to him, searches the deep revelations, the deep mysteries, the deep wisdom of God, and then picks up on it and makes intercession for you according to the will of God or the word of God. Does everybody see that? But for years, we would think, well, we're going to pray in the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost is going to get us. He's going to do all the work. No. The Holy Ghost can't do anything in you without you. If that was the case, if he could just do it without you, there wouldn't be anything wrong in your life, would it? He would just make you do it. I'm going to make you tired. I'm going to make you sow some seeds. I'm going to make you get out that bed. I'm going to make you this, and I'm going to make you that. You got to come online here and work in partnership with it. I'm just believing God that he's going to deliver me from these drugs. Okay, not if you ain't going to get in there and let your spirit go to work with you. You're going to be on drugs again, same drug, doing the same thing this time next year. Because you just wait on the Holy Spirit to do everything. But when you get in there understanding that your spirit is in partnership with the Holy Spirit and that your spirit is going to pick up on what God is saying, and then the voice of your conscience is going to start talking to you based on what he found out when he searched all of the deep wisdoms of God, then the Bible says he begins, your spirit now, based on what he picked up, begins to make intercession for you according to the will of God. And we know that all things, what all things? Your spirit and the Holy Spirit working together for the good of those who love the Lord and who are called according to his purpose. When you understand the partnership and work the partnership, hey, everything's going to work out for your good. Do you love God? Yes. Then you're going to listen to the voice of your spirit when he talks to you. Because I love God. My desire is to live for him and to get on the path that, when you love God, your heart's desire becomes, I want to be that good man. I want to be led by the Spirit of God. I've made enough errors on my own. Lord, what do you want me to do? I got this situation in front of me right here. I'm getting ready to make this deal. I'm getting ready to enter into this relationship. I'm getting ready to sign this paper. I'm getting ready to engage in whatever the activity is. Let me say this. As a child of God, the Bible says, be not conformed to this world. Don't copy the behavior patterns of the world. So that means we don't do business. We don't have relationships. We don't interact the way the world does. Now, we may have to do some business with worldly people sometime, but we don't do it the way they do it. You approach your deal. You approach your decision. You approach your relationship. You approach whatever's going on. You approach that from the stance that I'm a child of God. Now, how's a child of God supposed to act? The Bible says that we're to do all things in love and knowing we're blessed. If I'm going to do something and I got to interact with you, I'm going to approach the decision. Now, she may be unsaved. And she has a way of thinking and doing things based on the world system, how she was taught. Maybe she went to college. She's learned what she's supposed to be doing, or she's been trained in that. And the world has taught her a way to do it. But now I'm born again. I'm not to be conformed to the world. Even though I got to do business with her, she shouldn't be directing the business. Now, I ain't got to walk up in and talk about I'm born again and you're going to do what I say. I ain't going to do all that. You take authority over the situation, but she doesn't get to run it. Because if she runs it, then you are conforming to the world. So what am I going to do? Well, Father, I got to go over here and do this business, and I know she's not born again and she has a way of thinking, but that's okay. That's okay. My business may be with him, but she got to get involved in it. Okay. My relationship may be with him, but let's take this married couple. but they got to go involve somebody else in it to help them get something done that may or may not be saved. It doesn't matter what it is. So how I'm going to approach it is this way. Well, okay, Father, now I know what she thinks, and I know she has a way of thinking, but I'm saved. I release the love of God over this situation, and I call the blessing in here on this. Now, why am I doing that? Because the Bible says that when you bless, you receive blessings. When you curse, you receive curse. She's operating on the world system. The world system is a failed curse system, right? So if I conform to that, what am I sowing? Curse. What are you going to get back? More curse. But even though she may not be saved, if I enter in there in the love of God and underneath the blessing of God and declaring the blessing of God on the situation, then what am I going to get out of it? Blessing. Blessing. Not only am I going to get blessing out of it, but guess what I'm going to do for her? She don't even know what happened. She's going to get blessed. Lot, come on. Abram, come on. I'm going to take you to a land that I'm going to show you. Lot just went with him. But when it was all over and done, what happened? Lot came out looking pretty good, didn't he? Until he lost his mind and started realizing, thinking that he got the big head and I got this because of me and forgot about Abraham, that he lost everything. Ended up in the cave being committed to incest with his daughters. So the Spirit of God on the inside picks up on what's going on with the Holy Spirit. Are you listening to the voice of your conscience? That soft, still voice that speaks. Are you listening? I'm training myself to listen. I want to know. I don't want to make a bad decision and then in hindsight see what I should have done. Yeah. I want to know what to do first. It saves me time and money. You know, there's some decisions that you make in life that have lifetime repercussions behind them. Where if you had listened to God up front, you wouldn't have that problem anymore. Now, oh, glory to God. So, did everybody get that? Your spirit is searching when you pray in the Holy Ghost, and your spirit is searching through the wisdom of God, and he's looking for the right answer just to bring, and he picks up on what's going on in the Holy Spirit, and then your conscience starts speaking to you. Do this, don't do that, go here, don't go there. And it's real soft. And like I said, if the clutter of the world is in there, you'll miss it because you're not paying attention. That's why the Holy Spirit usually gives you those little, your spirit gives you those little nudges, those little checks and to slow you down enough so that you can listen. Now, let's look here. Let's see where I want to go. Let's look here now at, okay. God, Spirit, the Holy Spirit in you. This is important to get here. The Holy Spirit in you, he sets the standard. He's pure. He sets the standard. Your spirit enforces it. Okay? The Spirit of God is the standard. He's the Word. He's going to go with the Word. John says he's not going to speak of himself, but whatever he has received from the Father is what he's going to say. He's going to set the standard. Your spirit is the enforcer. Okay, you got that? Now, let's look at this. Let's look at this now. 1 John chapter 3. First John chapter 3. Verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Now our spirit bears witness with our spirit about that. We've read it. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knoweth not him. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know when we shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Every man that has this hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure. Everyone that has the hope of being like Jesus purifies himself. Well, how have we been noticing we purify ourselves? By our spirits picking up on what the pure Spirit of God is saying and revealing it to us. And then we yielding to that. Now, notice the very next scripture, verse 4. Well, no. Where am I looking at? Let's look here. Now let's go over and let's look at verse. Give me a second. Oh, no wonder. I'm reading out of number 3. I was reading out of verse chapter 3 of St. John. Did you guys get that? We was in the right place, wasn't we? Okay. All right. Now, go over to verse 18. Now, notice it says, he that has this hope purifies himself, even as he is pure. Now, notice verse 18. My little children, let us not love in words, neither in tongues, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of truth and shall assure our spirits before him. For if our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Now, it did not say if the Spirit of God condemns us, because the Spirit of God does not condemn. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The Father did not send the Son into the world to condemn it. That's what it says. But that the world through him might get saved. God doesn't condemn. God sets standards. So when you're feeling condemned, that's your spirit bringing that to your awareness to get you to stop. It's supposed to. What would happen if when we missed it and we never knew it? We would continue on down the line and end up crashing and burning. Isn't that what happened with the children of Israel? They didn't have a born-again spirit. They were spiritually dead on the inside. So when they got off the mark, if they didn't have a prophet or a priest or someone to come tell them what the word says again, remind them, they just kept on going. They didn't have, you know, and eventually, especially after they came out of Egypt, they had been in Egypt for over 400 years. Being trained in all kind of devil worship, idol worships, and all kind of foolishness. Now God got them out here in the wilderness. He got to give them some rules to live by so that they can distinguish themselves from everybody else and that they can stay on the path. But he couldn't do it from the inside. Now Tuesday, we're going to talk about feasting because that's old covenant. And you don't have any business doing it anymore. Now, so as the children of Israel kept on going, unless there was a priest or something to come say stop, they just kept on going and ended up in bondage, getting defeated, being slaves. But not anymore. We're born again. Our spirits now have become one with the Holy Spirit. Your spirit man picks up on what God's spirit is saying, the standard, and then he starts speaking to you. And when you don't pay attention to him, then that condemnation feeling just gets, what's wrong with me? I feel bad about this. It's your spirit man saying you're off the path. Come on. I ain't been saved all my life. When I first got saved, I didn't know nothing. When you first got saved, you didn't know anything either. That's why you have some people that are born again. And it's easy for them to sleep with somebody else and not their husband or wife. But then when they do it and you get up, oh, man, I blew it again. Oh, Lord. Or whatever the situation is, you're doing it, and it's like, God, it's, man, am I still saved? Maybe I didn't get the pastor to pray for me. Or you run from God. What's going on? That's your spirit condemning you. It's your spirit saying, that's a no-no. Don't do it again. It says, but if your spirit condemns you, now know this, you ain't stuck. Know that God is greater than your heart. What is he saying? Repent and get back on the path. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who are endeavoring to walk after the Spirit, the law of the Spirit of life. But if something doesn't rise up to let you know that that was wrong, you would do it again comfortably. So now, God sets the standard. Your spirit enforces it by when you do wrong. He lets you know you've done wrong, or when you're doing good, because the next scripture says, but if our heart doesn't condemn us, hey, we have peace with God. Let's go on. Remember, your conscience either is permissing you to do it, or it's saying don't. It's saying that's right, or it's saying it's wrong. It's enforcing the standard. So you're waiting for me to come tell you what's right or wrong. I can tell you what thus said the word of God, but it's the Holy Spirit's job to take the word of God and tailor it to fit you. How, when the Spirit of God rises up on me and brings conviction and condemns me about going to see certain movies, I can't come here and tell you, because see, the Spirit of God starts getting on me when it's a slasher movie or a demon, you know, them exorcist demon movies and all that stuff. I can't watch them. Not because I get scared. No, the Spirit of God has alerted me to the fact that I have no business looking at that anymore. Now, I can't come here and say, now, you know what, Lewis? Doggone, the Spirit of God just got all over me about them doggone movies. You better not go look at one either. If the Spirit of God had told him that, then that's wrong. That's what's for me. Now, when it comes time for Lewis to get into that, and if the Lord wants Lewis to get into that, then the Spirit of God will convict and condemn him in an area. I mean, your spirit will pick up on the Holy Spirit, what he's saying about you, and he will bring conviction or condemn you in that area, and then you will know you shouldn't be doing it. Not me trying to be your Lord. That's why y'all come ask me, Pastor, what do you think I should do? I don't know. What did the Lord tell you? Then do that. Because everybody asks me that question. You all sitting here. Everybody that asks that question already is hearing your conscience and you already know what to do. You're looking for a way out. Because when you hear, go ahead and do it, you ain't coming to ask me, well, Pastor, what do you think I should do? Huh? You just do it, don't you? The only time you ask that question is when something inside just don't feel right. I don't know. Well, you don't have to ask me that question anymore. I'm teaching you what that means. That means no, don't do it. All right? All right, we're almost done here. Let me. Romans chapter 13. We're almost done. Just be patient. I mean, this is good information. This is really good information here. You know, a lot of people aren't teaching people how to do this. You know what I mean? People are saved, love God with all their heart, but have no clue about anything that we're teaching about this. And they're just going through life haphazard by chance and making all kind of mistakes and mad at God. Why did this happen in my life? Why didn't you tell me? Why did you let me do? And they don't know God was talking to you the whole time. Come on, God talks to everybody. But not everybody's listening or know how to listen. Romans chapter 13, verse number 5. Here's why. Listen to this. Wherefore, you must need be subject. Subject to what? The word of God. Not just for wrath, but also for conscience sake. The Amplified Bible says, therefore, one must be subject not only to avoid God's wrath and escape punishment. Yeah, we need to watch out. We need to obey the word of God so that we don't get ourselves into trouble. Yes. But it also says, but also as a matter of principle for our conscience sake. Nobody wants to live up under a constant condemning. It makes life miserable and hard. So it says that you want to be subject to God, not just so that you don't end up going to hell and that's good. But also so that your heart can be assured before God, so that you know for yourself when you get on your knees and pray, God's going to answer. Or when you speak to the devil, he's going to obey. And you don't always got to go find somebody to do your praying and do your casting out for you, because you all condemned and don't believe God heard you. God wants your heart assured before God, because when your heart is assured before God, you're standing strong. And when you're standing strong, you will pray and believe, you receive and expect it. But when you know, when your spirit is, you know, and you all be down and you know you have been listening, and you let's just be honest, you may not be as confident as you would have been standing strong before God with a strong spirit, knowing. Now, there are things that you can go into the Bible and do when you've messed up to get back online. Yeah, you're supposed to. That's why it's in there, to help you get back online so that your spirit man can stay strong. But why not go home, go on and just when your spirit picks up on something that's wrong and hey, why not just go ahead on and say, OK, I'm not going to do it. Back off from it. And keep your spirit strong. That's much better than having to go and repent. Now, wouldn't you think so? So we're not just following our conscience, the voice of our spirit, just so we don't get in trouble. God needs you strong. You're going through life and you in the grocery store. Strong spirit, assured before God. And God says, hey, pray for the individual over there. You won't be, oh, Lord. Oh, then the devil starts telling you 15,000 things you don't did wrong. You won't have that problem because your spirit is strong. Your spirit is assured. Your spirit says, yeah, me and God, it does something to you on the inside when you know you heard God and you did it and you just, man, just grew a little bit. I just matured in the Lord a little bit. I got stronger. One of the preachers that was ministering to us where I was talked about, he got a jet ski. The motorcycles go on water. He said it comes with two keys that works the governor on it. One's a slow key. It won't let you go above 30 miles an hour somewhere in there. And one's the fast key that just lets you just. He said, why do you think it comes with two keys? So that you don't stick that fast key in there and kill yourself or kill somebody else that's out there on the water because you don't know what you're doing. No, you put the slow key in first and get used to riding this thing. Well, that's what God has been doing with us. We've had the slow key. Learn how to use what God has given us. Learn how to live. Learn how to mature, how to grow up. You don't give the fast key to the kid. The fast key go to the mature adult. Well, that's what God is trying to get us to, the mature adult, so that we can get the fast key, which means so that when we step out, so he can get us out there, when we get out there and we start laying hands and casting out the devil and doing what we're supposed to be doing, we know what we're doing, and we don't have to have any reservation about whether is this God or is this just me. If it came from the voice of your spirit, it's God saying, do it. So how are you going to be sitting in your cubicle? And then the Lord says, why don't you just put a $25 over on her desk? Don't even let her know. You just put it over there. Well, Lord, is that you or is that me? You ain't got to ask that question. You know it wasn't you. You wasn't sitting there thinking, well, I'm just going to go put $25 on somebody's desk today. You know you ain't thought that thought. You was thinking somebody going to put $25 on my desk. But see, God is trying to get us trained on how to function and be partners with Him. We got work to do. You can't get anything done going opposite of God. Now, last place, 1 Timothy chapter 4. We looked at this on last week, but it'll make a little bit more sense. Amen. Verse 1. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. The Amplified Bible. But the Holy Spirit distinctively, that means He was very precise in what He's saying now. He made a point for you to know it. Not only distinctively, but it's expressly, as a matter of fact, declares that in the last time, some will turn away from the faith living by God. Now, we're talking about born again people here. We're not talking about unsaved folks. They already have turned away. They ain't ever turned. We're talking to those that turned, and now they're turned away. They're not listening anymore. Why? Because they've been given attention to deluding and seducing spirits, doctrine that demons teach. Now, notice, it was a gradual thing. It started with the diluting, watering down of the Word of God. And that church down there is always, you know, they just make it hard. They just got too many rules. I ain't getting no rules. That's what the Bible says. They're not going to get me to talk about this a rule. And so I'm leaving. I'm going to find me a church where I can do what I want to do. Yeah. That's watering down the Word. You're getting ready to be one of those ones that's going to get turned away in the last time. There are demons in folks claiming to be preachers and teachers of the Word of God that are teaching doctrines of devils. There is no other place that you know of where anything you go and it's going to be easy, it didn't require nothing of you, but it produced. That doesn't work anywhere ever, only in the minds of religious Christian people that think that they can do, going to get something for nothing. You don't go into the gym just say, well, I went, you know, I'm going to show up at the gym, just sit there and watch everybody work out three times a week, and I'm going to get, you know, healthy. We think you guys laughed because, you know, that's just foolishness, right? But I'm going to go on down and I'm going to go down to the Gold Corral and pay my money. Just go sit there and look at the buffet bar. But I'm not eating anything, but I'm going to stay strong. It's foolishness, isn't it? Why do you think you're going to come to the church, the house of God, and think that you're not going to have to pay a price of the Word of God to advance? It's what the Word of God is here. The Word of God is to point out where you're in error to get your life straight so that you can get on the right path. That's what it's for. So why would you want to go water down the Word in your life? If anything, you ought to say, well, let me glory to God. Let me pray this man come here with a stronger word than this. I need something strong. I want strong every time I come. I want the real McCoy every single time. Don't hold nothing back, preacher. Nothing. And if I catch you holding back, I'm going to go to God and tell on you. That's what you should be saying. So it says they did, and then subducing teachings. See, after it's been watered down, now you can be seduced. See, at first you wouldn't dare touch that. But you've been up under a word that's been watered down enough now to come on over here. It doesn't look as bad anymore. Come on, it's all right. And you go over there and play with it. Let me watch it. Did nothing happen. Did nothing happen. Woo. Did nothing happen. See that preacher down there works at Faith Ministry was wrong. He ain't look good. Ain't nothing happened in my life. I can go and just enjoy the thing now. And all of a sudden, you don't even realize your life is being destroyed, and you don't catch it until you just about done. Where did it start? You was way out here at first. But notice it's seducing. A little closer. And now it got you. How did that happen? You started paying attention to deluded down teachings. and it opens you up to be lured. This to seduce, to lure you in. Now notice what happens. Through the hypocrisy and pretensions of liars, their conscience has become seared. So now what is this saying? The people that is doing the devilish teachings, their conscience is already seared. See how they can do it without any, without their spirits, without them hearing their spirits say no, because they've seared it. If you keep going in line with them, then guess what you're doing to your conscience? And the example I gave was the man with the coffee, remember? The old coffee pot. Remember I told you a story? The old coffee pot, used to sit on the cast iron thing and had to heat up. Not the little instant coffee pot. I'm talking the one you had to sit on the fire. It's boiling. And the man just went over there and took it off the fire. It's boiling. It's rolling, boiling. Poured it in the glass. Took the cup. Emptied the cup in his mouth and just drunk it straight down without stopping. And his friend said, how can you do that? He says, I've been drinking coffee for a long time. When I first started coffee, there's no way I could start drinking coffee. I couldn't do that. But I've drank the coffee long enough to where it doesn't even bother me anymore. What has happened? His gums have been seared. His lips have been seared. His tongue and throat has been seared. And what used to bother him doesn't even bother him anymore. Same thing happens to you in the realm of your spirit life. You've blown past the Holy Ghost, the voice of your conscience, the conviction and condemning the spirit. I mean, your spirit brings upon you, you've blown past them enough to where it used to bother you when you do the thing, but now you can just go on in there and enjoy it and not even feel bad about it anymore. Come sit up in underneath a teaching and it doesn't even hit you, and you got a nerve to have an attitude with the preacher for preaching it. You've been seared. Now you need a preacher to come pray, lay hands on you, rebuke the devil for you, and pray that God opens your understanding and reveals it to you again, softens you up enough that the Spirit of God can start sending stuff up through your spirit again, and you can hear it. But you should never get to that place. Not as a child of God. Not all the safety mechanisms and that have been put into your life. You should never end up there. But how many of God's people do? All right. So I know that's blessed you today. Start practicing this stuff. I'm telling you, this stuff will help you get ahead in life. Amen. Father, we thank you this morning for your word. It's good. It is good. And it will change our lives when we practice it. And I just believe, Father, that it's being practiced. And I expect to receive changed lives in here in Jesus' name. Amen.